Well, let's go to the United States now. And the US Senate has taken its first steps towards ending the country's longest ever government shutdown. A small group of moderate Democrats broke ranks to join Republicans in support of a compromise funding bill, leaving other Democrats furious. The deal would reopen federal agencies and provide back pay to government workers, but it still needs to go to several more votes before the shutdown officially ends. EJ Dionne is a New York Times contributor and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and joins me again this morning. EJ, welcome back to Breakfast.
It is so good to be with you on a very important anniversary and the celebration of a very consequential Australian. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us, EJ. So these events that have been unfolding on Capitol Hill, what exactly has changed suddenly to try and bring an end to this government shutdown in the US? Why has this group of Democrats decided to cross the floor after holding firm for weeks now?
Well, there has been this small group of Democrats. It's basically seven Democrats plus an independent who caucuses with the Democrats have been having negotiations with the Republicans for a while. And the various reasons they are giving is the cost of the shutdown first to federal workers who have gone 7 weeks plus without any pay at all. And then the escalation of the shutdown where food stamp benefits to tens of millions of Americans were being cut back. And the Trump administration, despite court orders, has said they won't pay. They're fighting paying the full food benefit. That has caused a lot of suffering. And and I think another shove is that the air traffic controllers have started not showing up to work because they were not being paid. They are federal workers. So these Democrats say the shutdown has gone on long enough. A majority of the senators, 39 of the Democrats, including an independent caucuses with them, and most of the whole House, and including a fair number of moderates, say this is not the time to give in, that the Democrats are not winning anything on their really of substance on their core demand, which is to cut to restore the subsidies to the Affordable Care Act, which will jack up the premiums of millions of people who receive help from the government to buy health insurance, and many may lose their health insurance altogether. And so it's a very odd situation for the Democrats because they were elated over the results of the various elections last Tuesday, where they took back the governorship in Virginia and held the governorship in New Jersey by very expanded margins, cutting into the Trump vote in both places. So they won the mayoralty in New York with Zoran Mondani and really won victories all over the country. And a lot of Democrats are saying, we were in a very strong position after these elections. Why is this rump of Democrats, first destroying the celebratory mood, but caving in now? And I think this is the Democratic Party, and there will be quite a bit of infighting going forward. There'll also be a lot of pressure to say, okay, we may have lost this fight, but the Republicans still have a problem with their hands on their hands, because a lot of these voters who are losing their health insurance subsidies are Republicans in Republican states. So that fight will continue, and Democrats will carry that into the midterm elections next year.
On Radio National Breakfast, my guest this morning is EJ Dionne, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. How would this deal benefit Donald Trump and the agenda of the Republicans?
Well, it doesn't touch fundamental changes they made in the big tax and tax cutting and program cutting bill that they passed earlier this year. The other thing that will help him is that the shutdown was actually hurting him and the Republicans more than it was hurting the Democrats. And that is very unusual. Usually the party that forces the shutdown, in this case, the Democrats, usually suffers in the polls. And it's a real sign of the president's declining popularity. The most recent polls have shown a real drop in his popularity. And there are big things and small things there. Big things He promised to cut prices, and they haven't been cut. And the Democrats won all three of the big three elections last week on affordability and the fact that Trump hadn't done what he promised to do in cutting prices. But there are a lot of smaller things that caught the country's attention. His knocking down the East Wing and building this big new kind of regal ballroom seemed very out of touch, given that he has so many people in his core constituency were working class, lower middle class voters who felt that the economy wasn't working well for them. They voted for Trump, and now he's concentrating on these rather self-involved things, so that getting rid of the shutdown is probably a net plus for him, because voters were blaming him for it rather than the Democrats. And it's why a lot of Democrats said, why or do these other Democrats want to end the shutdown now? We could fight on for a bit and make our points even more strongly.
EJ, we've only got a couple of minutes up our sleeve and a couple of issues to get through. On pardons, President Trump has signed a proclamation declaring full, complete and unconditional pardons for his former personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and attorneys Sidney Powell and John Eastman. Why now?
I think for Trump's view is why not? I don't think there's any particular reason at this moment. None of these folks had were facing immediate prosecution. But I think it's a consistent signal Trump has sent that he will pardon his allies. After all, right at the beginning of the administration, he pardoned thousands of people involved in the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. And I think the president wants to send a message that if you support me in a fight, I have your back and will, in the view of his critics, abuse the legal system, but in his view, use powers that I have to keep you safe from prosecution.
And EJ, just finally, the US media is reporting that President Trump is threatening to sue the BBC for $1 billion if the organisation doesn't make amends by Friday. This is in regard to a documentary that was aired on the BBC. It was edited part of his speech on January 6th. What do you make of this development?
It's really part of a pattern that President Trump, in pushing back against critics in the media or even straight up reporting that he doesn't like, has been using lawsuits. He did it against a couple of the American television networks and they caved to him. And I think he is hoping that
in this case, the BBC got it wrong. It's important to say.
Mm. Right. And I think that he is hoping that the BBC might settle with him too, as these other networks did. And so I think it's not shocking. The number is big, but Trump has used very big numbers like that in the past in lawsuits and gotten the settlements he wanted. So I was not surprised when I saw this. I don't think many people here were.
EJ, good to have you on the program. It's just a pity you aren't with us outside this morning in Canberra. Good to talk to you again. Thank you.
I enjoy being there so much. As you know, I am a lover of Australian politics.
EJ, thank you.